This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Today we're talking about the Boys and Girls Club with the executive director, Sam Banks. Welcome, Sam.
Well, thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
Good to have you here in the studio with us. Tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get to the place where you were director of the Boys and Girls Club? I know for many years you were CEO of the Cunningham Children's Home here in Champaign-Urbana.
Yes.
But how did you start out? How did you get interested in this kind of social service, social work?
Well, I started out, actually, it's an interesting story because when I went away to college, I grew up in Chicago, on the west side of Chicago, and went to a small school over in western Illinois, Quincy College at the time. It's Quincy University. And when I went away to college, I wanted to be a business major and make money one day. And I made the fatal mistake of volunteering to be a big brother in the Big Brother, Big Sister program back then.
As a college student.
As a college student, right?
Wow.
My sophomore year, as a matter of fact. It was my sophomore year of college. And I became a big brother to this little boy who was 10 years old. He was had a single mom, never knew his father, never seen him. And happened to be biracial. And in Quincy, that was a difficult thing for him. He got teased a lot and just had some self-concept issues and things like that. And his mom was struggling, being a single mom, things like that. So
now Quincy, Illinois is a pretty all-white town?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Pretty much. It's a river town, probably about, at that time, about a 5% African-American population. And
very few Latinos or Asians.
Yeah, very few Latinos, Asians, and things like that. Yeah, that was this was back in the 1970s.
Oh.
And that experience changed my life. Oh. It really did. I had an opportunity to be a part of a young man's life, and just in talking with him about, you know, his struggles, being there for him, just to listen. And we, of course, went on different activities, things like that, and of course got to know his mom as well, and so really became a part of his family. The experience really gave me an idea of the impact that I could have on someone else's life, you know.
Now, why, as a college student, would you take time to volunteer and do that sort of thing through the Big Brother, Big Sister program?
You know, that's a good question. I forget what actually motivated me just to join the program, but my mom is someone who is extremely instrumental in my life, and she was someone who was always helping other people. You know, the other kids in the neighborhood who didn't have any place to go, they'd always hang out at our house. Things like that. My dad died when I was 13 years old, and so you know, I was the oldest of oldest of five kids. My mom remarried about 3 years or so after my dad died, and I have two other siblings, step siblings, as far as that goes. But
the oldest of five, you might have been involved in helping your younger siblings?
Exactly, yes. Being in that position, I kind of became somewhat of a caretaker in many ways, things like
that.
Was
your family religious?
Yes. You know, I grew up Catholic. That's a matter of fact, a combination Baptist and Catholic. And on the west side of Chicago, you know, my education was very difficult in the public schools. And my folks, before my dad died, he was a laborer. But both my mom and dad worked really hard to send us to Catholic schools.
Oh.
And at that time, when you were at Catholic schools, you know, you went to Mass. You had to go to Mass every Sunday and everything like that. And my mom, at the same time, was strict Baptist. So on Sundays, not only did I have to go to Mass, but I had to go to church, you know, if you know anything about Baptists, you know, going to church was an all-day experience about, you know.
Oh, yeah. Several hours.
Yeah.
Several hours.
So I was a Catholic and grew up in a very faith-filled household, which I carry today.
How come Quincy College? What made you go to Western Illinois?
Yeah, well, I continued that Catholic education, and I think again, you're asking some very interesting questions from a personal standpoint because I was able to go to a Catholic high school as well.
Okay.
And
St.
Ignatius High School, okay. Right on the Roosevelt Road in the city. And the only reason I was able to go there, Steve, was because of a gentleman, a philanthropist, who in the city who provided a scholarship to myself and a friend of mine, two inner city kids, because he wanted to help inner city kids have a good education.
And your family couldn't have afforded that school.
Never would have been able to afford
that. And what difference did that make in your life?
That was a life-changing experience, because to go to the public school that I would have gone to, which was one of the worst in the city at that time, I'm sure that, you know, my life trajectory would have been totally, chances are they would have been totally different.
How were you picked out, you and your friend?
You know, my friend had a resource that he knew of at St. Ignatius, who kind of got us and gave us an opportunity to kind of be interviewed.
As a middle school student?
As an eighth grader, yeah.
Eighth grade.
Yeah. So it kind of gave us an opportunity be kind of selected, you know, and the school, St. Ignatius, obviously had the connection with Mr. Kaplan, was his name, who's since passed away.
Did you ever meet him?
Oh, yes. Oh. We spent time with him.
Really?
He was actually involved with both of us. We went to his business a couple of times, and that actually was one of the things that gave me that notion to become business major, because he was really the first person in my life where I had an example of someone who had their own business and was doing things like
that. What was his business?
He had had a couple of different businesses, but he owned some laundry manufacturing type businesses in the city, manufacturing type businesses.
What was his first name?
Alan.
Alan Kaplan.
Alan Kaplan, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Sam Banks, who currently has for the last year been the executive director of the Boys and Girls Club here in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois. Mm-hmm. This program is heard throughout eastern Illinois and western Indiana. How widespread are boys and girls clubs? Are they all across the country?
They are all across the country, yes. And the Boys and Girls Club movement is a national movement, which started actually back in the 1920s or 30s. And interestingly enough, had a faith-based foundation. An organization that started first as the Boys Club at that time. And was really started very much as it is today, to be a place where boys at that time, young people, could come and find support and help. A place at that time largely based on recreation, to get kids off the street,
sports
and things like that, and to give them some positive adults in their lives as well, to give guidance as well as a place to go and have fun. But largely that get kids off the street kind of notion, working with kids who otherwise wouldn't have any other place to go.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so since that time in the 19 late 70s, early 80s, the boys clubs and what was then separate girls clubs combined and became the Boys and Girls Club Association.
We heard your personal story of getting to Quincy College and studying business and then becoming a volunteer, a big brother. To a young fella. You said that changed the direction of your life. You were planning to go into business, be like Mr. Kaplan, but what did you do instead?
Yeah. Well, becoming that big brother and seeing how Lance, my little brother's name, by the way, we still talk today. He lives in Phoenix, Arizona, and we get a chance to see each other. We are still connected. But being able to see the impact that I had on him you know, and to see him really begin to evolve, kind of come out of his shell. Oh. You know, he was kind of a real quiet kid and, you know, stayed at home a lot and things like that. And I think just being able to help him see that his self-worth and value just kind of gave me the notion that, you know, maybe I didn't want to become this business guy and make a whole bunch of money, but I wanted to help kids and be involved in some work that gave me the opportunity to do more of what I was able to do with Lance. And so I changed my major. And at that time at Quincy, sociology was kind of the route to go, the program that most resembled the kinds of things I wanted to do. And there was also an organization called Chaddock School for Boys at that in Quincy. And I volunteered to work there. And it was a residential program for emotionally disturbed boys from who had been often neglected and abused, and it was they were placed at Chaddock, and had an opportunity to receive counseling and guidance. So that gave me an opportunity to see what an organization that worked with kids, what that was like, and what kind of fit I might have there. So,
what did you do after you graduated from Quincy College?
I graduated from Quincy with my bachelor's degree in sociology, and Chaddock, actually, volunteered and worked there for 2 years. They actually provided a scholarship for me to go to graduate school. I did my graduate work in social work, master's degree in social work at Jane Addams College of Social Work, University of Illinois, Chicago. And completed my degree, my master's degree there.
Jane Addams School,
yes.
What a place.
Yeah.
Great history.
Yeah, you bet.
Let me give the phone numbers for listeners who'd like to ask our guests some questions today. We're talking with Sam Banks. 333-9455 is the number within the 217 area code if you're close to Champaign-Urbana, Illinois. If you're farther away, we're eager to have your calls, too. Punch in 1-800-222-9455. So again, locally 333-WILL, the call letters of the station, of course. Long distance, 800-222-WILL. Sam, you were at the Methodist, Cunningham Children's Home, or I might just say incidentally, my mother was adopted from there.
Wow.
She was born in 1920, and in 1923, her mother gave birth to a younger brother and died in that birthing. Mm. And there were already six children in the family, and my mother's biological father felt he could not take care of the two youngest ones, mm-hmm. My mother at age three and the baby who had just been born. So both of them were placed in Cunningham.
Mm, wow.
And my mother was adopted there by the Delavue family here at the University of Illinois. Essel Delavue was a professor here, business law. And he and Vivian adopted my mother. They had already had an older son. So my mother came from Cunningham.
Wow.
So
what a neat story.
I have a personal history there. How did you get to Cunningham?
Well, I came to Cunningham from Chaddock,
okay.
The school in Quincy. While I was at Chaddock, the director, executive director at Cunningham, Tom Powell, who was actually a graduate of Cunningham, a former Cunningham kid.
Huh.
He was the director of a small girls' home in Quincy, and we did some cooperative staff training and things like that. So Tom and I got to know each other, and Tom became the director at Cunningham after a few years in Quincy at that organization. And when he came over, he needed a program director, and so he gave me a call.
Huh.
And it was an opportunity for me to kind of expand a little bit and get out of Quincy, Illinois. Nothing against Quincy.
Now, were you a single guy then?
I was a single guy at that time, yes.
And you came to be program director at Cunningham in Urbana.
Exactly. Right. Came over.
Now, tell listeners who may not know what Cunningham was when you got there, because it originally was an orphanage. What was it when you got there?
Right. Well, at the time that I came, the organization really was a residential program for kids who were placed by Department of Children and Family Services, kids who were abused and neglected. And basically, the program was pretty much residential in nature on the campus in Urbana with a couple of group homes.
How many kids would you be dealing with at Cunningham in those first years?
In those first years, there were approximately 40 to 60 kids
who lived there. And went to school there?
Went to school. Some went there. A few went there. And some also went to public school.
Okay.
Yep.
And how long were you program director at Cunningham Children's Home?
I was program director for about 6 years.
And what happened to you?
Well, Mr. Powell, Tom Powell, went on to take another job. And in the interim, the board and the United Methodist Women, who Cunningham is actually run by the United Methodist Women, they asked me to fill in as interim while they conducted a search. Through the search process and everything, I guess they decided I was doing a well enough job that they asked me to stay on and take the job permanently.
Wow. Yep. And were there 22 years total?
Yes.
And were you the first African American CEO of Cunningham?
Yes, first African American CEO of Cunningham. Had an opportunity to serve in that role. So very, very proud of that.
Yeah, quite an accomplishment. We're going to be talking about the Boys and Girls Club eventually. That, of course, was the advertised topic of today. And you've been director there for 1 year now, right?
Just about 1 year and about a month, yes.
Uh-huh. And tell us what attracted you to that position.
Well, I left Cunningham in 2008 to take a position in Chicago at the Glenwood School for Boys and Girls. While up there, had an opportunity to be involved in another historical organization, both Cunningham being starting in 1897, went to an organization that was started actually in 1887. Two long standing historical child welfare organizations in the state of Illinois. While at Glenwood, was there for 4.5 years. And unfortunately, my wife, Maureen, was not able to move up. We wanted to keep that connection with the University of Illinois. She's the director of safety and compliance for the campus. And our hope was
here
in Champaign-Urbana. Yeah. Yes. Our plan was for her to join me up there. By staying within the university system and connecting with a similar position at UIC. And at that time, if you recall, 2008, was the downturn in the economy. And
nobody was hiring.
Nobody was hiring, very little movement, things like that.
Right.
We got to a point, Steve, where we decided we didn't want to live the rest of we'll look back and be apart for all those years. So the board of directors at the Boys and Girls Club here were going through a leadership change and received a call, a contact, I should say, from someone who wanted to inquire as to whether or not I'd be interested. And long story short, we were able to make that decision to come back.
I want to follow up on that, of course, and also hear how you first met Maureen. But before we get to that, we have we're about 20 minutes into our Keeping the Faith program this afternoon with Sam Banks, the director of the Boys and Girls Club in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois. But let's hear an announcement about what's coming up here on WILL tomorrow at 10 o'clock on Focus.
It's easy to deceive your brain. That's according to Dan Simons, a University of Illinois psychology professor. In his book, The Invisible Gorilla, How Our Intuitions Deceive Us, Simons explored the limits of human perception. Now his research is being featured in the TV series Brain Games. I'm Jim Meadows, and Dan Simons will talk about the things we think we're aware of, but we're not, on Focus, Monday morning at 10 on AM 580.
That's Jim Meadows tomorrow, 10 o'clock, Monday. I guess that'll be the 3rd of June. Always need to give dates these days because so many people listen to these programs on podcasts, and they may be listening at a very different time. But I'm Steve Shoemaker, hosting today, talking with Sam Banks on the 2nd of June here in 2013. Sam, we were talking before the announcement about Focus about your wife, Maureen, and you eventually getting to actually live together again. You came back to be director of the executive director of the Boys and Girls Club. How did you two meet?
Actually, I met Maureen through her brother. Her brother and I were roommates in college. And so I knew she has a twin brother, as a matter of fact, who also works for the university at this time. And he and my friendship with him, I got a chance to meet his sister one day.
Where were they from?
They're from Chicago.
Okay.
As well. And I met her brother in college in Quincy, however. Yes.
And where did Maureen go to school?
Maureen grew up, they grew up on the south side. So, you know, we have a mixed marriage with my being from the west side of Chicago and her being from the south side. She went to a Catholic high school as well, Loretto Academy, which was on the south side, all-girls school on the south side.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
So did you start dating when you were in college, or was that later?
You know, that was later.
Okay.
We were friends in college for a few years, but we actually didn't start dating until several years after we had graduated, a few years after we graduated.
Was that here in Champaign-Urbana?
That was right before I moved here to Champaign-Urbana.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
And you have three children, as I recall.
Yes, yeah, we're very blessed with three great kids. Fortunately, they all took after Maureen. but our son is a graduate of U of I here in accounting, and he works here in town. He's working on his MBA as well, executive MBA here at the university. And our middle daughter, Brittany, she graduated from the University of Missouri. She's the one that got away and went to Missouri, graduated in journalism there. And she works for an advertising and marketing firm in Chicago.
Okay.
And our youngest one, another U of I graduate, graduated from here, is following. She's the one who's following in my footsteps, I guess. She has just completed her first year at Jane Addams College of Social Work. So she's working
social work in Chicago.
Exactly.
UIC.
Yep. So very proud of her.
I'll bet you are.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what the Boys and Girls Clubs, what the clubs do. What mm-hmm. happens if someone goes to a Boys and Girls Club?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the things, and I'll share, you know, you asked me a little bit about Cunningham and my experiences there. And as well as my work at the Glenwood School, you know, both those programs are very residential in nature, and those are programs, Steve, that work with kids once things have really gotten difficult, and people have said, "Hey, we need to place this kid someplace where they can get support and help and counseling and the kinds of treatment even at Cunningham in particular." And one of the things that we used to always say when I was at Cunningham was, man, I wish we could have gotten a hold of that kid when he was 7.
Younger.
Boy, I wish we could have gotten a hold of her when she was 10 or 11 instead of getting them at the 14, 15, 16-year-old ages. Not that we weren't able to do good work and make progress, but, boy, how much more difficult it is. And I share that with you because one of the things that I feel is so special about the mission and work of the Boys and Girls Clubs is that's exactly what the Boys and Girls Clubs do. They are an organization in the community that really does reach out and are there for those kids when they're 6 and they're 7 and they're 8 years old. And they're able to provide an opportunity for kids to come into contact with adults and with opportunities to learn and connect and grow before things get to the point where, you know, it's really, really difficult to turn things around. And so the Boys and Girls Clubs really are there to enable all youth, but particularly those youth who need us most, to realize their potential as productive, caring, concerned citizens. And so with the programs and with the activities and the people who are connected with the club, that's what it's all about.
Now, it's called the Don Moyers Boys and Girls Club, this particular one. Tell us about that name.
Yeah, the Champagne Club here is called Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club. And the club was actually started back in 1967, 68, back during those times. And there was started with, really with a group of concerned business people and others in the community who recognized that there needed to be a place for kids who may not have the opportunity to go to the YMCA every day or may not even have resources to pay the fees that were associated with even the park district programs and other type programs that might be out there. And so that group of people, that included Don Moyer Sr., as well as other noted business people in the community at that time, started the Boys Club the Boys Club. And over the years, really built the organization and the work up. It became the Boys and Girls Club. And when it came time to, I guess, naming the club because of his particular support of the club, and tremendous sharing of his resources, Don Moyer was kind of honored with the name.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's actually actually kind of unique because back in the early 90s, no other boys and girls club actually can be named after an individual. So Don Moyer is one of the few clubs in the country that actually has a person's name associated with it.
I see. Uh-huh. Let me give the phone numbers again. Listeners may want to ask our guest today, Sam Banks, a question about his work, about the Boys and Girls Club. 333-9455 is the local number. If you're within the 217 area code, punch in 333-9455. Our technical director, Kyle Crow, will answer the phone and put you in line to talk with our guest. If it's a long-distance call, 800-222-9455. And let me remind folks that if you missed part of this program, would like to hear all of it, you may do that in a few days or a week at the most. There'll be a podcast available. You can go to will.illinois.edu on your computer, online, on your smartphone, whatever, and go to Keeping the Faith and look at this date and listen to this program at your convenience, or you can type in the search engine Sam Banks and his name will come up and you can find it that way. Listen at your leisure. Sam, you mentioned the programs that these kids are involved in. First of all, what are the ages of kids that that participate in Boys mm-hmm. and Girls Clubs?
One of the good things about the club is it works with a wide range of young people. We actually serve kids from kindergarten all the way through high school, all the way through 12th grade. So very much a K through 12 focus.
And I know from the nice tour you gave me of your facilities, you have special rooms for teenagers. You have other spaces for the younger kids.
Yes, we do. Right. We do. We really. And today, you know, the club here, the Don Moyer Club, we've gone through some some struggles over the past few years. At one time, we had several sites, the club did, in addition to the location where we are, the single location now on Park Street. And so with the single location, you can imagine having kids all the way from 6 to, you know, 16, 17 years old in the building. It's a challenge.
It's pretty wild, yeah.
It is a challenge.
Right. But so you had expanded for a while, and that proved impossible to fund during the last downturn?
Exactly, yeah. I think the club was really impacted with the downturn in the economy, the reduction in resources that came, particularly through grants, both state grant-wide grants, city and county-wide grants were dramatically reduced. And, of course, with the economy being the way it is, individual giving,
sure,
donations for the organizations, which is our largest source of support.
Fell off.
Exactly, if I've fallen off. So
right.
At this point in time, we really are pleased with the turnaround that that we're having, and the people who are coming back to the table and supporting the work of the club. And we're very hopeful that some exciting things are going to happen in the future.
What are some of the things that the kids do?
Well, our programs, Steve, are largely focused with after-school services is one of the biggest aspects of what the program, the club provides. So we really work after school throughout the school year. To provide academic support, character building, and social skills and leadership skills to kids with various programs that we have. So many of our kids, of the families that we work with and kids that come to us come from low-income homes. We are here for all kids, but as I shared with you in our mission statement says, particularly those kids who need us the most.
Sure.
And so often, many of the kids we see do have are dealing with obstacles in their lives, such as that involve economic issues and at-risk issues that are challenging for them to overcome. And so we're there to help them on an academic level after school with tutoring support and academic enhancement in whatever ways we can. We also provide activities, positive activities, and a safe place for them to be after school, because many of the families are challenged with supervision for kids after school, things along those lines, because for a single mom who may be working and things like that, that's difficult.
Or working two jobs.
Or working, yeah. Exactly. Those things are some of the things that our kids are facing. So,
what about summer programs?
We're getting ready to, in fact, tomorrow is our first day of what we call our summer camp and summer program, and we'll be providing services in the summer that last all day from 7:30 until 5:30 in the evening. So for our what we call our summer camp, and we also provide our teen night services Tuesday through Friday, where we work with young people from 13 to 18 with activities that involve both academic enhancement as well as various activities and sports activities. We open up the gym. We also do some college visits, preparation for college, and some things like that. We have a basketball team that we put together, and they travel around. We play other boys and girls clubs in the area and things like that. Yeah.
How many staff do you have?
Well, we have actually a total of 8 staff.
Full-time, part-time?
Six full-time and 2 part-time. And one of the things that we enjoy, and here at the club, is a great volunteer effort. And being here in the heart of with the University of Illinois being here, we get tremendous support from the college with student groups who volunteer, and they provide a lot of that academic support with students after school,
tutoring,
during the school year with the tutoring. And
mentoring,
things along those lines.
Yeah.
Mentoring, yes, the students are there for the mentoring programs as well. And in addition to those things, we also do activities on the weekends. A number of people in the community are very generous with it may be football tickets or basketball tickets or tickets to Krannert for various shows and things along those lines. And what we try to do is take advantage of those opportunities to get kids, many of whom would never have an opportunity to experience activities such as that, to get them out to those kinds of events on the weekends.
How could people contact the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club in Champaign Urbana, Illinois, to volunteer, to offer tickets, to help out? How do they do that?
Well, they can feel free to call the club at any time. It's 355-KIDS is the number, 355-KIDS. And I'll be happy to speak with them. They can certainly speak with me. Or our receptionist that answers the phone can take their information and interest, and we'll get them to either our program leadership or myself, and we can talk about how anyone can be of help.
That's 217-355-KIDS, and you also have a website.
Yes, we do. Our website is there, which also we're working to upgrade that and everything, but it also shares a little bit about the activities that are going on at the club and information about our work. And you can visit our website at www.dmbgc-cu.org.
DMB. B.
As in boy, Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club. DMBGC-CU.org.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don Moyer, DM, Boys and Girls, BGC, Club-CU for
ChampaignUrbana.org.
Okay. Or just search for Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club, or probably Boys and Girls Club Champaign.
Right.
Very good. Sam, when you came to this organization, you already had this wealth of experience working with young people both here in Chicago and Quincy and as a volunteer yourself. What keeps you going? What gives you energy?
Well, I'll tell you, the thing that really keeps you going is when you see a young person who really gets their life turned around. And who really, you know that because of the work that you're involved with, you know, that young person has a chance now. Our youth of the year this year at Don Moyer is a young man named Rontez. And he is a young person who just graduated from Central High School. And he doesn't mind me sharing his story because he has shared it openly. He comes from a situation that's it's very difficult family-wise. And Rontez has been a club member actually since he was about a fourth or fifth grader. And he is just a remarkable young person who has embraced his potential to be whatever he wants to be. And he says that if it wasn't for the Boys and Girls Club and being a member, coming there after school when he was a middle schooler and early high schooler, he wouldn't be where he is today. And he talks about the people at the club, the staff at the club who made a difference in his life and who reached out to him and gone the extra mile to encourage him, to help him with his studies, to help him. He's going to be attending University of Illinois Chicago next year in business. He's actually started his own candle business right now, so he's interested in entrepreneurship and entrepreneurial studies. And I had a chance to take him up to UIC to make sure that everything was in order as far as his registration and housing and things like that. And it was just so uplifting just walking around the campus. It's the first time he'd been there, you know, on a college campus and everything. And just seeing his eyes and the hope that he had and the excitement that he had about taking that next step in life, that's what keeps you going, Steve. Oh. That's what provides the motivation to do what it takes to make an impact on kids' lives.
We only have about 20 more minutes of Keeping the Faith this afternoon with Sam Banks. Let me take just a moment and give him a chance to take a sip of water, and I'll let listeners know what's coming up here next week. We're talking by phone on June 9th, 2013, to Deanne Schmucker. She's the author of a recently published book on group medical appointments. She has a nursing background. This is a very interesting book that talks about a new way of providing medical services in a way that may be reformational to standard American practice, a way to make things less expensive. And it should be an interesting discussion. That'll be next Sunday from 5 to 6 here on Keeping the Faith. Deanne Schmucker about her new book, Group Medical Appointments. Coming up on June 16, I'll be traveling, but guest host Don Nolan will be back, as he often is, and he'll be talking with Kate Morgan about immigration issues. Should be a very fascinating program on June 16. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs, but I might just let listeners know that I have notified the station that this summer will be my last summer as hosting these programs. I have turned 70, and my wife and I are looking forward to a little bit more travel than this kind of a schedule allows easily. And so I started this program back in 1999. So for more than 14 years now, I've been usually here on Sunday nights from 5 to 6 and have enjoyed it tremendously. But it needs to be a time when things do come to an end, and at least my part will end at the end of August this summer. Well, let's talk some more with Sam Banks. We're talking about what keeps him going in these working with often troubled youth. Sam, you gave us an example of a success story, but my guess is that when you go home and talk to Maureen some nights, you're discouraged because in spite of all you've done and all the volunteers have done and all the teachers and so forth have done for these young people, somebody has not made a right choice, has made has turned in a direction that just you're disappointed, and maybe they are too, but how do you deal with disappointments?
Yeah. You're exactly right. You know, it's difficult, particularly in my experiences, not so much at the Boys and Girls Club as much as at a Cunningham Children's Home.
With older kids.
With older kids and things like that, yes.
Yeah.
It is, but, you know, kind of reminded, and I think, you know, everyone probably has, most people, many people have heard that story of the, you know, the starfish, you know, where, you know, the little boy's going along the ocean there and tossing in the starfish that have washed ashore, and asked why, you know, he's taking on such an awesome job. And, you know, the answer is, well, I saved that one. You know, you can't save them all, but you saved that one. And while you get disappointed and while you kind of pull your hair out about why won't this young person, you know, listen, and they have so much potential, and they seem to be what seems to be throwing it away. You know, you do hang on to that that notion, and what you know is, you know, you want to save at least that one. You know, as far as that goes. But you know, the other thing, Steve, that I've experienced over the years and with the kids that I've worked with, is while you really want to see every kid turn out to be like a Rontez that I mentioned in the success story, if you can just help them in one aspect of their life, you know, or just see connect in one way that may help them to some degree, and plant those seeds, you never know, you know, when those seeds are going to, you know, come to fruition and grow. And so it really is about seed planting, you know. It's as much about that as it is about an end product, you know. And so the work that you do, whether it's at a Cunningham or a Boys and Girls Club, is really about giving kids who often don't have a lot of positive seeds to be planted in their lives, giving them some experiences, giving them some people in their lives that that hopefully at some point, you know, they may realize, oh, wow, that's what Sam was talking about, you know, or is that that's why, you know, the staff made me, you know, stay on task or go through, you know, some things that I was kicking and screaming about, you know, maybe at some point, you know, it may all of a sudden it may take. So that's what keeps you going.
Now, you've lived in Champaign-Urbana, this university community, since what year?
Since 1983.
1983, with a short 4 years back in Chicago.
All right.
When you've been involved in many other activities in this community. I know you're a member of a local service club. You've been in the Urbana Rotary Club, and now you're in the Champaign Rotary Club.
Yes.
What part does that play in your life?
Just the opportunity. I've been very blessed with the opportunity to really be involved in a number of community efforts over the years. And it gives me a chance to, one, be with others, you know, like yourself, who are so committed to the health of the community and the well-being of the community, be it through supporting work with kids or supporting work with women you know, other issues in the community that are so sorely needed to be addressed. Being able to be in service clubs and other types of organizations who reach out and try to provide support in the various ways that are needed in the community has been just a good thing for me to be connected with outside of my work, you know, as far as that goes. I've had an opportunity and to serve on various boards.
I know you've been on the Busey Bank Board.
The Busey Bank Board, but also Developmental Services Center and working with families who are working with developmental issues. Had an opportunity to serve on the board of one of the local substance abuse programs in town, which really gave me an opportunity to see what that was like. Also worked with the Boy Scouts here in town, served on the Boy Scouts board for several years and was able to be a part of starting the Scout Reach Initiative in our community that reached out to minority kids and kids who typically don't get involved in scouting. And that's an effort that's really, really grown and taken off. So those are just things that have been very, very nice to be involved with.
Sure. Yeah. And, of course, as a director of a social service agency that gets support from United Way, you can't serve on that board, but I know you've been involved in helping tell the United Way story as an executive.
Oh, you bet. You bet. The United Way is such a strong and organization that really is kind of an umbrella effort that encompasses so many different organizations that are serving the needs of the community. And having a source like that to kind of bring it all together and help the community focus, you know, on meeting the needs of organizations is so important. And our United Way, our Champaign County United Way, has done a tremendous job of that over the years.
Tell me why people should volunteer, whether at the Don Boyer Boys and Girls Club or somewhere else. How could they make a decision about where to volunteer? How could they find out more without a lot of people are afraid they're just going to get overwhelmed.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. Well, yeah, it's an awesome thing to think about because sometimes, you know, we doubt how much help we can be of someone else, to someone else, you know, so often. But, you know, when people come to a boys and girl to the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club and spend, you know, an hour working with a kid on his homework or something like that, or participating, you know, in a gym time activity or things along those lines, you know, you realize, you know, how little it takes to make an impression on someone else. Oh. It's just the time. It's just being there. And I say little, but it's a lot just to be there. But when it comes particularly to kids, you know, that's what they need. They just need someone to be there for them so often. And so just giving of your time in that way, you know, really really says it all, you know, as far as that goes. But people who are interested just in exploring that, the United Way is a good source to start, you know, in terms of, you know, giving a call to the United Way to know what organizations are out there who do have volunteer opportunities, you know, and things along those lines.
And if somebody wants to volunteer at the Don Morey Boys and Girls Club, they could come and look the place over, they could meet you, they could talk to other staff people.
Yes, they can. In fact, I encourage that. You know, if you're thinking about becoming a volunteer, I love to walk people through, particularly when the kids are there, you know, to see what it's like, you know, as you walk through the the site, you see other volunteers who are there, you know, engaged with kids and things like that. So that gives you an idea of what you can do and the impact that you might be able to have. So, again, our phone number is 217-355-KIDS. You can call and ask to speak to me personally if you like, and we'll be happy to give interested volunteers a tour.
And again, the website is D as in David, M as in Mary, B as in boy, G as in girl, C, -cu.org. DMBGC-cu.org. And you're located on Park Street, right off of University Avenue in Champaign. What's the actual address?
201 East Park.
201 East Park. Very good.
We're down 206, to just, I'm sorry, 206 East Park.
I'm sorry, 206 East Park.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's a large building with a big sign. People,
right.
you can't miss it.
And
it has nice landscaping around it, very nice flowers. Yeah. It's an attractive place. We're just down to our last few minutes with Sam Banks, the director of the Boys and Girls Club. Sam, tell me about, in terms of your connection with the University of Illinois, you said that a lot of students are some of your best volunteers. Now, of course, they're just here 9 months of the year. Where do you find the volunteers for the summer?
During the summer, we have a bit fewer volunteers just because of the nature of the programs and everything. But we still, you'd be surprised at the number of students that are still here in the summer.
So some grad students also volunteer?
Exactly, we do. We have a number of students as well. That's a good time for internships. So with the Department of Education Department of the School of Social Work, I should say, School of Education, and those types of programs, recreation. We get a number of recreation students as well.
Because you do have a gym.
Yes, we do. And those students, those are good times for them to have an extended time to volunteer and provide internship-type opportunities.
Now, I notice there's a small park right across from your building. Is that used at all for outdoor recreation?
Yes, that is. We do use that small field for recreation activities. But one of our dreams is to have a location that can be more that can have a nice playground, which we don't have, and more open space area. You can kind of see, you know, that the site that we're on, while it's adequate, you know, it doesn't have the kind of open space and things like that that we would like to have for the kids.
Now, you have a board that hired you and makes policy decisions. Who's on that currently?
We have one of the best boards in town, and it's a group of people who just made a tremendous commitment to the club. Our incoming president is Todd Peterson, who's a local business person, a former CEO of Coventry Health Systems, and he's now the CEO of the Firelands Group. Mike Comet is our vice president, and Mike is one of the, I believe, the president of Pepsi company here in town. Dan Hartlib, Illinois baseball coach, is just going off our board, and hopefully he won today. I believe the Illinois team is still in the playoffs.
So you really have some sterling folks on your board.
Yes, we do. Right. David Parkhill as well. So a number of really really great people who've made a commitment to the Boys and Girls Club.
And in our last minute, tell me about your most interesting experience as a Big Ten basketball referee. I know you've stopped that now, but when you were doing that when you were younger, tell me one incident.
Well, of course, being a Big Ten referee back in those days when Bobby Knight was still in the conference, you know, that was always a challenge. Long story short, I was over there refereeing, and Bobby called a timeout, and the teams go to the benches, and I hand the ball in to number 24. Number 24 for Indiana starts guarding me. You know, I'm the referee. He's guarding me. You know, going up and down the floor, and I keep refereeing. I didn't stop doing my job, so I kept going. Finally, there's another timeout, and the teams go to the benches, and I go to Coach Knight, and I said, "Coach Knight, I don't know if you realize this or not, but number 24 is guarding me." I said, "Could you tell me what's going on?" And he looked at me like only Knight could do it and pointed his finger at me. He says, "Yeah, Banks, I can tell you what's going on." He said, "In my last time out, I told him to guard the guy who was hurting us the worst, and it was you." I learned a lot that night. Never to ask a question that you weren't prepared to take the answer.
That's
so,
right. You were not the only referee that Bobby Knight shook his finger at. How many years did you have that side job, if we could call it that?
I refereed at the Division I level for 20 years. Had a very nice very nice opportunity to be engaged, in college basketball at a high level, and it was a lot of fun. Had to give it up a little earlier than I wanted to. I had three knee surgeries that kind of took me out, but it was a lot of fun and a lot of good experiences.
And a lot of experiences you could share with young people.
Exactly. Yeah, that's pretty. It's pretty neat being able to talk to the kids about it. And of course, when they would see me on a TV game back in those days, it was nice for them to identify with someone who they knew who was doing something like that.
We're going to have to come to a close. We've had a wonderful conversation with Sam Banks, who's a longtime friend of mine and someone I've been eager to have on Keeping the Faith, talking about the Boys and Girls Club. He's the executive director there. Again, if you have information, would like to volunteer, learn more about the Boys and Girls Club, the Don Moyer Club in Champaign, 217-355-KIDS, KIDS. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the usual host of these Keeping the Faith programs. Next week, my guest will be Deanne Schmucker, who's the author of a recently published book, Group Medical Appointments. So on June 9, 2013. We'll be talking with her by phone from California. The following week, June 16, I'll be traveling. Don Nolan, frequent guest host, will be interviewing Kate Morgan about current immigration issues. That's Keeping the Faith. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
This is Ira Glass. 2 years ago on This American Life, we did a program about a mysterious business in Texas that buys up patents and then threatens other companies with lawsuits for violating those patents. All kinds of stuff has happened since then. We hear about that. And we also hear about the company that is suing podcasters, saying it holds a patent that makes podcasting possible. When Patents Attack, Part 2, this week.
Saturday afternoon at 1 and Sunday evening at 6 on AM 580.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Strategic Farm Marketing, Champaign; KC Summers, Mattoon; and Jarman Center, Tuscola. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
On the schedule next is This American Life with Ira Glass. Tonight, a show titled When Patents Attack, Part 2, a follow-up to a show about patent trolls they did about 2 years ago. Thanks for being here. I'm Jason Croft with you this Sunday evening, and this is Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. Don't forget to check us out online at will.illinois.edu. We offer streaming audio, podcast, feature downloads, program schedules, and more.